Shvius, Perek Vav, Mishnah Aleph, 6:1. The point of this Mishnah is to lay out that there are three different zones with respect to the halachas of Shvius. That is to say, three different geographic regions in and around the land of Israel, where the rules of Shvius are in different levels of implementation. The basis for these three zones is that originally, when the Jews came from Mitzrayim, from Egypt, we'll call them the Ole Mitzrayim, those who came from Egypt, under the auspices of Joshua, they conquered the land of Israel. And the region of land they conquered was large, but in fact not the entire area that was promised to Avram Avinu. Abram was promised a larger tract of land yet, but the part that the Jews under Joshua conquered in the land of Israel was sanctified, and that consecration was a kedusha l'sha'ata. It was a temporary consecration. That is to say, that at some point, the Jews under that first, we'll call the Bais Rishon, the first Commonwealth period, were exiled under the Babylonians. And when the Jews were exiled, the kedusha, the sanctity of the land, and the applicability of the halachas of Shemitah, went with it. When the Jews came back a second time from Babel, Babylonia, we'll call them the Ole Babel, the ones that came up from Babel, they were under the auspices of Ezra and his Bezdin. Many fewer Jews came, and the area of land they conquered in Israel was much smaller. So the second Commonwealth, the Bais Sheni, under Ezra, tract of sanctified land in Israel, is a smaller area than the original area conquered under Joshua. As a side point, but a very relevant one, l'halacha, it's not at all clear whether the kedusha, the sanctification that Ezra and his bezin established in the second Commonwealth and during Bais Sheni time, was a kedusha l'sha'ata, just a temporary kedusha, and when the next second exile occurred under the Romans, that kedusha also left, and therefore today we're in that period where there is no doraisa application of the halachas of Shemitah in the land of Israel, it's all derabbanan, or whether the kedusha, the investment of sanctity that Ezra and his bezin did, was not just a kedusha l'sha'ata, a temporary investment of sanctity, but a kedusha l'asad lavo, a sanctity that was intended to, and that would, latid lavo, go on forever. If the kedusha indeed was not just l'sha'ata, temporary, but rather latid lavo, for the future as well, so then that kedusha is still invested in the land, and the land is still potentially subject to the halachas of Shemitah on a doraisa level. As a matter of further practical halacha, there's actually a further question whether or not just having sanctified land is sufficient for the halachas of Shemitah to be applicable on a doraisa level, whether that's a necessary requirement, but not the only requirement, meaning it's necessary but not sufficient. That it could be that as well you need to have the majority of Jews back in the land of Israel on that consecrated land, as well as the Yovel back in place, as it should be, for the halachas of Shemitah to be applicable midoraisa. So as a matter of practical halacha, the assumption is that nowadays Shemitah is only a rabbinic requirement, even in the land of Israel. But we sort of went ahead of ourselves a little bit. The Mishnah isn't discussing that at all. The Mishnah is discussing simply, in the time of Bais Sheni, in the time of the Mishnah, what are the boundaries of Israel that have the full-fledged obligations of Shemitah, as opposed to further boundaries where there's less than full-fledged obligation. But the reason why I did that whole introduction about the practical halacha is because if we understand that the obligation to the requirement, I should say, of having the land being not just invested with kedusha of sanctity, but also having the majority of Jews back in Israel, if those are both requirements for Shemitah to be applicable midoraisa, so then during the time of the Mishnah, during Bais Sheni, all these halachas are only rabbinic in nature. There's no doraisa obligation of Shemitah because the majority of Jews did not come back during Bais Sheni times in the Second Commonwealth. So then, conceptually, what this Mishnah is going to say is there are three zones. The first and primary zone is the zone that was reconquered by those who came up from Bavel in the Second Commonwealth by Sheni, and that land will have their full-blown restrictions of Shemitah, which the Mishnah will call that one may neither, the land may not be ne'avad there, can't be worked there, so the halachas of Shemitah, like digging in the ground, pruning, and harvesting, etc., those are forbidden. And also, lo ne'achal, the produce can't be eaten. According to the Bar Tanur, that means that in this zone, once the time of biur has passed, remember that is the time when, let's say you're talking about chickpeas, so you brought chickpeas into your house, the chickpeas, let's say they were Shemitah chickpeas, you could have them in your house, but once the chickpeas are no longer available in the fields, so then you have to do biur on the chickpeas in your home. If you don't do biur on those chickpeas, so then they become now forbidden to eat. That's what the Bar Tanur learns we're talking about. Lo ne'achal means produce past the time of biur can't be eaten. You'll recall there's also a separate discussion about what biur actually implicates. So according to most, biur is taking it out of one's house and declaring it ownerless, hefker. And you'll recall from a mission not long ago, and we'll see more thoroughly in later on in the ninth parak, that there's a question of after the declaring hefker ownerless, if it can be taken by anybody or just by poor people. According to the Rambam, biur requires destruction proper. He had a different gears, a different version of the text of the Mishnah. Be that as it may, the Bar Tanur learns lo ne'achal in our Mishnah means that it can't be eaten after the time of biur. The Rambam himself learned that lo ne'achal, food may not be eaten in this region, means that there's an isra sfichin in place, that food that grew by itself, that is when it gets replanted every year. So since there's a rabbinic requirement, it's a gezeirah. Mid the rabbanan, the rabbi said, we don't want people to be cheating and saying that this particular food grew by itself in the Shemitah year, which would be permissible to eat, but really cheat and plant it on purpose and break Shemitah. And therefore the rabbi said that all svichin, all the foods that grow in the Shemitah year, that grow naturally, but are the kind of food that you plant year after year, those foods are svichin, which are asr midrabban. So the Rambam understands that lo ne'achal, one can't eat the foods in this region, is referring to eating svichin, the rabbinic requirement. So again, the Mishnah is going to say there are three zones in Eretz Yisrael. The first zone is the zone that was conquered in Bai Sheni time, and lo ne'avad, the land can't be worked, lo ne'achal, the food can't be eaten, either after the deadline of biur passes and it wasn't done properly, or svichin. Then there'll be a second zone. That second zone will be a larger area around the first area, which will include the lands that were conquered when the Jews came up from Mitzrayim, the Ole Mitzrayim, under Yehoshua, under Joshua, and they conquered further north and perhaps also further east. So that will focus on the north. The region goes farther north, which was originally Eretz Yisrael, but is not invested in the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael during the Second Commonwealth and the time of the Mishnah. So we'll say in that second zone, it's more lenient. You still can't work the land, but there's no isser of to not eat. Again, not eat would either mean, according to Bar Tanur, not eat after the time of biur, or according to Rambam, not eat svichin. Then there's the third zone, which is beyond that. And that third zone beyond that, there are no restrictions, neither restrictions on working the land, nor of eating the produce of the land in any way, because this land never was under the control of the Jews and sanctified even in the Bais Rishon under Yehoshua time. Just speaking out, it could be that we're talking about lands that were actually promised to Avraham Avinu back in the Tanakh, but since they were never conquered by the Jews and invested with Kedusha, they do not get any special status with the halachas, respect to the halachas of Shemitah. That's the Mishnah outside. The Mishnah inside reads, Shalosh Aratzos L'Shvias. There are three different geographic regions with respect to the halachas of Shvias. Kol Shech Ziku Ole Bavel, all the land that was taken possession of by those who came up from Bavel under Ezra at the end of the Babylonian exile, Me'eretz Yisrael, from Eretz Yisrael. So this is an ambiguous term. It's not clear where exactly Eretz Yisrael is included, but it seems the Mishnah understood it's where the Jews are living in Eretz Yisrael. And don't forget, there were plenty other non-Jews living in Eretz Yisrael too, so presumably didn't include those areas. Va'ad Kaziv, going north up to the point of Kaziv. Now, where Kaziv is not clear at all. According to Bar Tanur, it's somewhere in the northeast of the country, and according to many others, it's the northwest. I think the majority understand that because if it's the northwest, basically where we have, roughly where we have today's modern Rosh HaNikra, which indeed is basically the border with modern day Lebanon. So in the Mishnah time also, the Jews only got to Kaziv and not further. Fine, so further north than Kaziv is already not part of the zone that the Ole Bavel conquered. So within that zone, however, south of Kaziv, I mean, as far as how south we're talking, it's not clear. The lines are blurred because really no one lived in the Negev desert. So when you start getting far south, you know, south of Beersheba, at some point it stops being Israel. How far south is not clear. Rav Eliyashiv paskin to be machmir down to the 30th parallel, 30 degrees north latitude, which is fairly far south in the Negev. Certainly it excludes, according to everybody, Eilat. Eilat, for example, is not part of Eretz Yisrael, according to anybody here. But exactly how far south is not clear at all. In any case, in that region, in Eretz Yisrael proper, going up to, but not including, Kaziv, Lo Nechal, V'lo Ne'avad, the food there can't be eaten, according to the Bartanura, once it passes the beer stage without having done beer properly. According to others like the Rambam, it means the Isser Sfichin isn't kicked in and is in effect. V'lo Ne'avad, and the land can't be worked. V'chol Shechziku Ole Mitzrayim, the larger area of land, which was originally conquered during Bias Rishon by those who came up from Mitzrayim under Joshua, which includes not just to Kaziv, but further north. Mekaziv, Va'ad HaNahar, Va'ad HaMana, going all the way north to the Nahar, the river, which river, it's not clear. Va'ad HaMana, this is some mountain, where this mountain is also not clear. Some understand it's on the west coast of Israel, going up. Some understand on the east coast, in the eastern, northeastern borders. Wherever it is, that second region further north, Ne'achal, food could be eaten there in Shemitah year, meaning there's no Israel Svichin, according to Rambam, or no issue of Bior. Another Peshat that Bartanura brings actually is if someone broke Shemitah and planted, now can you eat it over there? And here the Rambam and Bartanura says, yes, it could be eaten. It's another Peshat he gives. Avlo Ne'avad, but the restrictions of working the land still are in effect. Midr Rabbanan, one can't work the land doing the plowing, you know, harvesting, like reaping grain, collecting the grapes, pruning the grapevines, etc. That can't be done even in this second region north of Kaziv, all the way up to the Nahar and the river and to Amana. Min ha-Nahar va-Amana va-Lifnim, beyond that, Ne'achal v'Ne'avah, there are no restrictions at all with respect to Shemitah. You can eat whatever you want and do whatever work you want to the land. The actual words are hard to understand because min ha-Nahar va-Amana, from the river and Amana, which were the northern borders of the second zone, v'lifnim, and inside is strange. It should probably say v'lechutz, and further out. So Bartanura actually raises the question. It's not clear what the answer is, how to draw the picture. But in any case, whatever it means further out, away from Israel. At that point, it's then Amana and the river, whichever the river is. At that point, it's no longer Eretz Yisrael in any way, even Midrabban, even from the time of Joshua, and you can eat and work the land as much as you want.